From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
For the week of April 10, 2006, it is the Disc Golf News. I'm Brian Sullivan. The show a day late in arriving this week, and the reason is, well, I'll admit it, I was kind of playing hooky. I went to the opening day of baseball season and got my first nap of the year. Sorry. Baseball is just so, so very boring. But the topic today is disc golf. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. PGA rules guru Carlton Howard is going to be joining us. He is the chairman of the rules committee. He's going to get us up to date on the new rule changes for the season.
Something that also is causing some consternation is the lost disc rule. Rather than playing your shot from where it was last seen, now if you lose a disc, it's throwing distance. You throw from where you threw it from when you lost it.
Plus, we will preview the upcoming Texas State Championships in Houston. That is a national tour event this year. Professional disc golfer Chris Sprague is going to join us to explain how he gets motivated to practice and maybe how you can as well. That in the clinic, and we've got results from the Bowling Green Open National Tour event in Kentucky. All that on the way this week on PDGA Radio News, brought to you by Innova Champion Discs at InnovaDiscs.com.
The Champion Sidewinder from Innova is the latest addition to the state-of-the-art Champion line. The Sidewinder is designed for long turnover shots and long-distance rollers. The extra-long glide will add D to your drive no matter how big your arm is. And the Sidewinder is made with Champion line plastic, so it holds up round after round. Your game just got better with the new Sidewinder from Innova, number one in disc golf.
The PDGA National Tour rolled into Bowling Green, Kentucky last weekend for the Bowling Green Open. And if you were a current or former world champ, you were looking good. We're going to begin with the Masters Division, where your current Masters world champ, Dean Tanak, is going to be a winner by three throws over Joe Thacker and Rocky Russell. They will tie up for second in the Masters. To the women's division, another current world champ, Des Redding, is going to win by three over five-time world champ Juliana Korver. She'll take second place. Carrie Burlogger is nine throws back. She'll take third for the women. And in the open division, a former and possibly future world champ, Barry Schultz, who is hitting his stride. He just leaves the rest of the field in the dust. He's going to win by eight over Justin Bunnell of St. Louis, who's going to take second place. Kenny Climham, an 11-time world champ, will take third. And that, oh man, is how it went down at the Bowling Green Open.
Time now for the 60-second clinic. I think it is an accepted fact that if you do not practice in this game, you are just not going to cut the mustard. You will not succeed at the highest level that you want to succeed at. So the question is, how do you find the motivation to practice? To help us find some motivational strategies is professional disc golfer Chris Sprague.
To get you out there to practice, the main thing is to find a way to enjoy your practice. Because number one, I mean, I love to putt and I love to throw up shots, and so that's fun practice for me. I don't have to chase things a long ways. Having games, having ways to, you know, kind of with your friends or whatever, any kind of way to practice, whether it's playing catch or putting just for fun, or horse, any kind of game that you're out there actually improving your skills, you're going to enjoy it more and you're going to practice more. And the results you get on the course will even, it will drive you back to the practice because you know that you're going to reap the benefits of your practice.
Professional disc golfer Chris Sprague, formerly of Iowa, now resides in Oregon.
Hi, this is Justin Bunnell, and you are listening to PDGA Radio News.
In the big picture this week, it's time to talk rules. Now, the rules of disc golf set down by the PDGA are changing pretty much constantly. From year to year, the rules get tweaked, and the folks who do the tweaking are the volunteer PDGA Rules Committee folk. So what they do is they sit down and they get all this input from players, and they say, what do you think about this and that and the other thing? They come up with some recommendations. They send those to the board of directors. The board says yay or nay, and boom, there you go. New rule changes, and as I said, they change just about every year. So every year about this time, we track down the Rules Committee Chairman, Carlton Howard, to tell us what's up.
It's Carlton Howard here. I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm currently chairman of the PGA Rules Committee. I've been playing Frisbee since I was a kid. Started playing competitively late 70s. Been playing disc golf since 77. And been playing PDGA play since around 81. And volunteered to run be a rules official at an event. Read the rules. Thought they could use improvements. So started making some comments and eventually got added to the rules committee. After a few years of doing that, I made it to the be a chairman.
And who is currently serving on the rules committee, and how does the committee function?
We've got Dr. Rick Vokes, we've got Harold Duvall, we've got Jim Garnett, Conrad Damon, and Joe Garcia. And we interact via email, obviously. That's been a godsend for PDJ in general, you know, email and the internet, and particularly for the rules committee. But we discuss everything. Everything's out in the open. Nobody responds to any email questions they get without the whole committee seeing it. So we obviously get a lot of input from players and also people that are currently officials. So it's a great way to test your theories on the rules, be you a committee member or just an interested player.
And when particular rules and discussion of rule changes come up, is it more often being brought up from a player outside of the committee, or is it more intra-committee?
It has to be player outside the committee. We get so much comment, and we kind of like the rules, you know, and rules in other sports, so we're kind of observant folks from that perspective. But so we're very interested in problems that happen at tournaments. So, you know, of course, we hear about them, you know, because folks want to say, hey, you know, this rule's a bad rule, and here's why. Or, you know, here's something that we need to cover. You know, there's just some things, you know, you can't think of every situation, you know, where you're sitting down drawing up rules, and that's why rules constantly change over time. But, yeah, absolutely. You know, almost all of our changes come from outside the committee.
Well, let's get down to the important stuff for 2006, and that is what is new, what has changed in the rules book this year?
We've got quite a few changes, and we're pretty pleased with them. Just a couple points I'd like to make up front is it's important for everybody to remember that our rules are constantly evolving. That's why we publish, you know, new editions every few years, and they'll continue to change as the rules do with all other sports. It's also important to realize that it's difficult, and we understand that it's difficult to play and self-officiate, to call other players and yourselves on rules infractions. But unfortunately, you know, we can't afford to have PDJ officials on every hole. So until we can, that's just an economic reality that we have to deal with. But that does present some unusual social stigma with making a rules call, and we realize that's a handicap. But we think, in general, we're doing pretty well with the self-officiated rules. On to the changes for 2006. Brian, I'm excited that one of the things we've done is we've moved the glossary to the front of the book. It's so important to read the glossary. It just really helps you understand the rules and the flavor of the rules so much. And we had it in the back of the book. In committee, we were debating, and somebody says, well, if it's that doggone important, how come it's not the very first thing in the rule book? And I said, hey, that's a great idea. So bingo, there it is. We clarified that a line has no thickness under the rule line of play. It's kind of important when you're getting your stance, you know, for folks to understand, you got to be right behind your mark. You know, you can't kind of be on the corner of it. So we're using, you know, just falling back on basic geometry, you know, a line has no thickness. So it's pretty narrow. And that, of course, again, means one support point's got to be right behind your marker rather than behind the corner of it. We made players responsible for the actions of their caddies, you know, just common sense stuff. Specifically mentioned that players should attend the players' meeting and that they're responsible for what's mentioned there, you know, just common sense stuff. It's good to have the rules form as a reminder rather than just a penalty situation. We clarified and expanded the explanation of provisional throws. You can use them to play holes in ways that would save time, like you throw a shot and it might go OB. You know, you can declare a provisional rather than running around there and seeing if it's OB before you proceed.
Carl, let me stop you there. And just okay. for some of the players who might be new in our audience, can you explain what a provisional throw is?
Sure. A provisional throw is basically an extra shot you take either to save time or to provide an alternate playing of hole under a contested rule. for example, let's say I drive and I think I'm inbounds and you don't think I'm inbounds. And so I play a provision, which means I'd play both shots. I'd play the lie as if it were OB and I'd play the lie as if it were inbounds. I'd play out both legs of the hole, if you will, record the scores in the margin of the scorecard. Then when we see a TD or an official, they rule on whether the disc was in or out, and then we know which score to take. So that's the clinical definition of provisional throw. You can also use it in situations where it would save you time. And let's say there's a pond, we're teeing over, I throw my tee shot, can't tell from the tee if it's in or out. Well, technically, if I can't use a provisional, we all got to walk around there and see if it's in or out, and then if I'm out, we got to walk back around the pond. So provisional in this situation, you'd say, you know, not sure that I'm in or I'm out, I'll throw a provisional, and so you throw a provisional if you're OB. Then when you walk around the pond, you get over there, they say, oh, yep, I am inbounds. You know, so you no longer need the provisional. You would just play out your original drive and you just pick up the provisional. So you can use the provisional to save you time, and you don't have to finish out the second leg of the provisional when that other other reason you were playing is moot.
So essentially, this is something that players have been doing in the past, and now it's officially in the rules.
Exactly. It's actually a behavior that was occurring, and it's kind of natural, intuitive, and not harmful in any way, so why not make it legal? You know, so that's what we did.
Good. What else?
We clarified that you can't move casual obstacles that are between you and the hole. Again, you know, the essence of the sport is play it where you threw it. So the player now also has the option of moving back 5 meters if you have a casual obstacle that interferes with your stance. So you can back up in some situations. But, you know, it's possible that, you know, it's just tough to define that you can step on this limb and you can't step on another limb when they might have different situations in terms of what they're connected to between you and the hole, like a brushy pile of limbs or just a flat limb. So in general, you know, we want you to play it where it lies. So we're trying to eliminate moving a lot of stuff. We changed unsafe lie to unplayable lie. We thought the definitions made more sense, and unplayable lie, of course, is used in golf. Now, instead of being able to, previously you could take a penalty throw if it was unsafe, back up within 5 meters. If you couldn't get a safe lie from there, you could take another penalty throw and move all the way out to the fairway. We felt that was a poor rule because, let's be honest, how can you really tell where the fairway begins and ends on a lot of disc golf courses? Two, we felt it was kind of cheap to be able to pay two strokes and buy your way back to the fairway. So under the new rule, which is unplayable lie, which used to be unsafe, you go to your shot, gosh, there's this huge bush here, I can't possibly play from here, it's unplayable. For one stroke, you can back up 5 meters if you get in, and then pick if you can play from there. If you don't think you can play from there, your other option is to go back to your previous lie and throw from there with one penalty throw, a stroke and distance or throw and distance. So that's a pretty big change and a good change, we think. On an unsafe lie to unplayable. With everybody's favorite rules topic, the 2-meter rule, we changed the default from a penalty for 2 meters to no 2-meter rule. So with the 2-meter rule, we did the opposite of what we did last year. This year, the penalty is not in effect. Last year, the penalty was in effect. Again, we're realizing that some folks love it, some folks hate it. This gives folks a chance to lobby with your TD because they can make the decision up, which we think is a good thing.
One of the changes that is one of my favorites is that tick marks on a scorecard no longer allowed. It's got to be an actual number. Is that correct?
Yep. We clarified that numbers must be used because it's just that's the easiest way to do math and to make sure scores are accurate, in our opinion. And it's much easier to write a rule that will cover incorrect scorecards, I might add. So numbers have to be used. We also clarified that anybody in the group can pick up the card. I mean, another one of those changes that had been common practice, but technically under the rules, it says the first player in the group has to pick up the card. Something else that's caused a lot of consternation, I think, unknowingly, is the out of bounds. With out of bounds, we've changed the line from being inbounds, if you're touching the line to being inbounds, to being out of bounds. But what we didn't change is that the disc must be completely surrounded by OB. So if any part of your disc is inbounds and touching the OB line, you're still in. You got to be completely OB to be considered out. Something that also is causing some consternation is the lost disc rule. Rather than playing the your shot from where it was last seen. Now if you lose a disc, it's throw in distance. You throw from where you threw it from when you lost it. Seems rather penalty laden from a certain aspect, but what we like is it gets rid of a judgment call and a pretty contentious one of where was it last seen. And so, you know, we're getting away with an approximate spot to a certain spot every time, and one that doesn't have any controversy. Because you can have some holes, particularly as they get long as they are today, where it was last seen is, can have a huge bearing on being able to complete the hole. I mean, think of some of these monstrous, you know, par five holes we have. And that's most of the major changes, I think, right there.
So it sounds to me, Carlton, like the rule change that is going to have the most effect, that is going to come into play most often for most players, is the lost disc rule, where now if you've lost your disc, you not only get a penalty stroke, but you also go back to where you threw from and you throw again.
We think it's a good step. We believe when you should get rid of a judgment call at every opportunity. We also think that eventually stroke and distance will be a bigger part of OB rules. So we saw this as a good middle ground to test and see what reaction is like. Again, that's one of the neat things about the rules is we can try new stuff, and if it doesn't work, you know, we can tweak it. So I think this is a good step. It mirrors what happens in golf, and, you know, even though I don't think disc golf should be an exact carbon copy of golf, I do think they've got, you know, over 400 years of experience, and we'd be foolish not to draw on that wealth of knowledge from time to time.
Carlton Howard is the longtime volunteer chairperson of the PDGA Rules Committee. We spoke to him at his home in Raleigh, North Carolina. And you're listening to PDGA Radio News. Coming up in just a couple of weekends is the FlyingHighDiscGolf.com Texas State Championships. It is a national tour event for the first time this year, and the co-tournament director is Dave Nesbitt.
Texas State's is in its 11th year. Second year that it happened was on the Super Tour, and it's been on the Super Tour ever since. It's typically held in the fall. This will be our first year both on the national tour and moving into a springtime venue where the Texas weather will be very sweet. Defending champ in the open division is Coda Hatfield from Oklahoma, with the Masters champion being Joel Kelly and our women's champion being our Texas Iowan Des Redding. The courses that are here are quite unique. It's all three courses are being held in the same park venue, so you're able to play three different courses in one setting with all the people staying in the same area, which is a great opportunity. They are essentially the courses that were used for the 2002 Pro Worlds with some upgrades to some of the holes in a few areas. But you're basically playing the O2 Worlds courses, all three courses in one venue. What you'll see is a fairly open course venue with some challenges in the woods. It's a subtle game, a little bit longer than most courses, with some subtle innuendos to affect, you know, where you got to get your birdies and where you can't bogey, where you shouldn't. It's about 7,500 to 8,000 feet total. We'll play two rounds of 18 on Saturday and one round of 27 with tee times on Sunday. And we're also running a double disc court tournament during the event. And the player's package is one to die for. You'll see one of the most unique items being added to a player's pack, a deck of 52 playing cards with top pro players being featured on the card and the great tournament logo designed by Neil Dambra on the back. The cards are superb. We're producing a limited run of about 1,500. The cards are being put in all the pro and amateur players' pack, but if you don't get a chance to get to the event, they're being sold both retail at the event and directly through ourselves through Houston Flying Disc Society, and you'll also be able to find them at our title disc sponsor, FlyingHighDiscGolf.com.
Dave Nesbitt is co-tournament director for the upcoming FlyingHighDiscGolf.com Texas State Championships, April 22nd and 23rd in Houston, Texas. Due to the Easter holiday, not a lot of things on the schedule this weekend, April 15th and 16th, but there are a few items. In Belgium, it's the Easter Open. Now, that's a way to celebrate. In Lakewood, Washington, the Fort Silicum Spring Classic. The Philly Open in Pennsylvania. Plus, in Columbus, it's the Riverside Drive. Omaha, hosting the Spring Fever Fling and the April Showers event in Saratoga, New York. Check the full list anytime. Just point your browser to pdga.com. And finally this week, a reminder that the PDGA is looking for copies of any recent letters. This is like, within the last year or so. But a recent letter that you've got written by a Parks Department or other community leader recommending disc golf and extolling the virtues of said sport. So, for example, if you've got a course put in the last year or so and you got some letters put together to help your cause, we're looking for a copy of that to include in our information kit that we send out to folks who are looking for more information about disc golf. So if you have such a letter, we would love a copy. Just drop an email to the office. That is office at pdga.com, and we'll work out the details from there. And that, my friends, is the disc golf news for the week of April 10th for the PDGA. I'm Brian Sullivan. Thanks to our sponsor this week, Innova Champion Discs. And until next time, I hope you will get out there, huck some plastic, leave the course cleaner than you found it, and keep them in the fairways.